Hey, everybody. Victor Davis Hanson has 10 rules that are radically redefining America. It's a very important episode that we go through piece by piece. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you wish to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support to help us in our mission to reach millions of young people with the truth. charliekirk.com/support. Maybe you got some stimulus money. Maybe you're in a position to help support. It really puts amazing amount of backing behind us when you go to charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. tpusa.com is the place if you want to get involved on high school or college campuses across the country. I love hearing from you. freedom@charliekirk.com. 10 rules of what is radically redefining America. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I want to tell you guys about Relief Factor. You've heard me talk about it before. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free supplement. Yesterday, I was playing basketball. I was throwing the football around. And honestly, a year ago, I would not have been able to do that. Relief Factor is terrific. For less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you are able to get Relief Factor for $19.95, the quick start. And it's really incredible. So I encourage you to check it out at relieffactor.com. The Talbots, Pete and Seth Talbot, are friends of mine. They do a great job, and they do a great job for our country. So check it out, relieffactor.com. It goes after four different metabolic pathways. I know a lot of people that have taken it, and they have wonderful things to say. Relieffactor.com. What if I told you that there are 10 new rules that we are living under? It's not Jordan Peterson's 10 Rules for Life. It's not Jordan Peterson's new book, 10 Rules for Beyond Order. It's not the 10 Commandments. No, there are 10 rules that we must recognize that are changing America. A friend of mine, Victor Davis Hanson, wrote a piece that says the 10 radical new rules that are changing America. This piece is so good. It's so precise that it's worth examining in full. For those of you that don't know, Victor Davis Hanson is probably the best, most talented scholar in the country. He works for the Hoover Institution. He writes for American Greatness at amgreatness.com. Common guest on Fox News, wrote The Case for Trump. He actually has just recently started commenting on politics. He used to just comment on Greek history. He's a classicist, focusing on Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and ancient Greece, Homer, Odysseus. But Victor Davis Hanson, because he is a master of wisdom, because he studied things that actually mattered for a couple decades, is so beyond brilliant in his capacity and his ability to analyze what's actually happening here through a historic lens. So here are 10 rules, radical new rules, that are changing America. I want to go through each one of them in detail and give some examples and some tape and some clips. Number one, money is a construct. It can be created from thin air. Annual deficits and aggregate national debt no longer matter much. Prior presidents ran up huge annual deficits, but at least there were some concessions. That money was real and had to be paid back. Not anymore. As we near $30 trillion in national debt and 110% of annual GDP, our elites either believe that permanent zero interest rates make the cascading obligation irrelevant, or that larger the debt, the more likely we will be to be forced to address needed income redistribution. I'm going to tell you a story. It was in 1998, just 23 years ago. Venezuela was one of the top economies on the planet, had more natural gas and oil depositories than any other country, had a booming middle class. But then a man named Hugo Chavez got elected president of Venezuela. He decided to implement massive social programs called Bolivarian Missions. 30 of them, massive social programs. Blowout spending on education, subsidized food, subsidized housing and healthcare. When it started, it all seemed to go very well. And I'm reading from a piece from the Manhattan Contrarian. Never heard of them before. They're terrific. I'm paraphrasing parts of it and I'm adding into it. Not only was everything going so well, it had some of the most amazing economic growth between 2004 and 2010 of any country. Because when you have a massive immediate influx of cheap money, you are going to get a sugar high. For any of you that have children or have dealt with young kids, go give them Skittles, Twizzlers, M&Ms, and go see how they act. Be on a sugar high. You feel like you can own the world. But anyone that's dealt with that or has experienced it, I have, knows that there's a moment where all of a sudden the blood sugar starts to go down. And all of a sudden you start to realize, I have no carbohydrates, protein. I don't feel that well. Venezuela regularly started to complain around 2010 that some of the services weren't all that they were promised to be. Then around 2013, things started to fall apart very quickly. And eight years later now, Venezuela has, I think it was 1,400% inflation. We can get the exact numbers. An almost non-existent middle class. And one of the worst economies on the planet. One of the biggest lies, according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote The Gulag Archipelago, said that when people say that it can't happen here. No, no, the laws of economics are equally applicable to all countries, all people, in all times. There's some people that believe in this idea of the modern monetary theory, that John Maynard Keynes might actually be right, that we could have massive influxes of cheap money and we'll never experience inflation because technology will be our salvation. Boy, are we pushing the boundaries of the laws of economics. And history tells us that you're going to get a sugar high. We are living through the sugar high right now. Merger and acquisitions are at record highs. The market, as sweet as it could possibly be. We have multiples of companies that are 85 times earnings. Bitcoin is up, which is an indictment of the dollar. Housing prices are up. Things feel really good. And I'm going to use a more graphic analogy. We are stuffing our arms or shooting our arms up with heroin. Cheap money being the heroin. But as Victor Davis Hanson beautifully puts in this piece, money's just a construct. It doesn't represent value. Money is nothing more than a white supremacist tool to try to keep them in power. So let's crush the monetary system. And every country that tries to live off of the sugar high pays a price. Every single time our country has decided to indulge in the temptation of cheap money, we experience a crash. 2008 was largely because of the artificial lowering of interest rates after 9/11, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and the massive government intervention into the private lending market when it came to mortgages. So for our solution, Hank Paulson, a government Sachs guy, Goldman Sachs, government Sachs, decided to come in as the Secretary of the Treasury and say, I don't want a water gun. I want a bazooka. $800 billion. Now, that doesn't sound like that much money now. That was 12 years ago, everybody. 12 years ago, $800 billion sounded like a monumental amount of money. We executed TARP, which was the Targeted Assets Relief Program. The stimulus, which was $900 billion. And rates remained relatively low. Now, Republicans won in 2010 complaining about the debt, won in 2014 complaining about the size of government, delivered on very little of it. Donald Trump expanded the deficit, but at least we had correlated economic growth, but it's nowhere even close to the debt and deficit that we're experiencing right now. But the new radical revolutionary rule that we must embrace, and if not, you're a racist, is that money's a construct. And quite honestly, it's similar to the Whose Line Is It Anyway episode. Let's play this quite little tape. You guys remember Drew Carey? This is our new economic policy running our country. The rule's made up. The money doesn't matter. Play tape.
Thank you. And welcome to Whose Line Is It Anyway, the show where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
That's it. Everything's made up. The deficits don't matter. The money doesn't matter. Whose Line Is It Anyway seems to be running our government. In fact, I think there's more rational thinking in that show than there is in the halls of Congress. Number two, laws are not necessarily binding anymore. Quote, Joe Biden took an oath to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, but he has willingly rendered federal immigration laws null and void. Some rioters are prosecuted for violating federal laws, others not so much. Arrests, prosecutions, and trials are fluid. Ideology governs when a law is still considered a law. Whew, is that a good point? Crime rates do not necessarily matter. If someone is carjacked, assaulted, or shot, it can be understood to be the victim's fault as the perpetrator's. Either the victim was too lax, uncaring, or insensitive, or he provoked his attacker. How useful the crime is to the larger agendas of the left determines whether a victim is really a victim and the victimizer really a victimizer. Do you guys know there's a mass shooting that happened in the last 24 hours by a black former NFL player who killed five people and then himself? Is that headline news? Did we stop talking about the fact that the Boulder shooting was a Muslim? Did we not talk about the fact that the Capitol was attacked last week by a Nation of Islam supporter? Those are three high-profile tragedies that no one seems to want to talk about. Well, it's because crime is not bad to the left. If it fits their agenda, if it's their purpose. I'm going to play again a piece of tape that just reinforces this when it comes to the southern border. This is a local news outlet from San Diego that says the border gates are stuck wide open and people are walking through. This proves Victor Davis Hanson's point. Cut 51.
But we're at the border right now, and this gate, by the way, this is one of the gates that actually works. It goes open, it goes closed, Border Patrol drive through, but about 37 or 38 spots do not. By the way, we went to one of the gates, and all it was missing was a motor, and so all they had to do is put the motor in, but apparently when the stop order came down, they just stopped everything, and gates are literally just stuck wide open, and people are walking through.
People are just walking through. You hear that? As Victor Davis Hanson says, the laws are not necessarily binding anymore. If you want to enter America illegally, welcome. But if you want to open your church, you're going to jail. If you want to come into America and sex traffic children, we will open up the gates for you, literally. But if you want to bring your child to a park, you could get arrested. You see, human beings, we're not built to handle this kind of contradicting government rule. It is pure despotism and tyranny, the impartial execution of our laws. For a specific political agenda to serve a ruling class that wants you to be able to chemically castrate your children like the governor of Arkansas does, and then to be able to shoot yourself up with heroin. But if you dare misgender somebody in California, for example, you can go to jail. basically not enforcing certain laws on the books, like the mayor of Baltimore that says we are no longer going to faithfully execute the laws of prostitution, drug trafficking, amongst other crimes. It won't be illegal anymore. But you open up your coffee shop and have more than five people in there, the police are going to pay you a visit. Rule number three, it's going to take some time to build this one out. Racialism is now acceptable. We are defined first by our ethnicity or religion, and only secondarily, if at all, by an American community. The explicit exclusion of whites from college dorms, safe spaces, federal aid programs is now non-controversial. It is unspoken payback for the perceived past sins, or some type of good racism. Falsely being called a racist makes one more guilty than falsely calling someone else a racist. I have submitted for years now the most powerful force in American politics is being called the R word. It's the worst thing you can call anyone. It dominates the American psyche. It dominates every decision. I will do whatever you want. Just don't call me the R word, please. But if you all of a sudden become a racist against white people, perfectly fine. Where there are textbooks that say we must abolish whiteness. That Columbia has black-only and Latino-only graduation ceremonies. Racialism is now not just accepted, it's encouraged. They want segregation. They want black-only dormitories. This is one of the new radical rules that's dominating our country. Everybody's mother always says, eat your vegetables. And even as adults, we still have excuses why we don't eat them. They taste terrible. It's too much trouble to prepare. Fruits and veggies are so expensive. Your mom wanted you to eat your fruits and vegetables because she knew that's how we get and stay healthy. Well, your mom never listened to your excuses. Balance of Nature has listened. All 10 daily servings of fruits and vegetables are in 6 small capsules. They're absolutely no trouble, always fresh, nothing artificial, and ready to take. And the cost, literally pennies per serving. I take Balance of Nature. It's terrific. Join me and experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself for a limited time. All new preferred customers will receive an additional 35% discount and free shipping on your first Balance of Nature order. Use the discount code CHARLIE. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Use the discount code CHARLIE. Rule number four by Victor Davis Hanson, the immigrant is mostly preferable to the citizen. The newcomer, unlike the host, is not stained by the sins of America's founding and history. Victor Davis Hanson writes, most citizens currently must follow quarantine rules and social distancing, stay out of school, and obey all the laws. Yet those entering into America illegally need not follow such laws and apparently superfluous COVID-19 rules. Their children should be immediately schooled without worrying of quarantine. Immigrants need not worry about their illegal entry or residence in America. Our elites believe that illegal entrants more closely resemble the founders than do the legal citizens, about half of whom they consider irredeemable. Point Exhibit A, and I do want to get to this whole list, so I'm not going to spend too much time on each one of them, but it's a phenomenal piece. A new decision in New York is saying that illegals get $2.1 billion. That's right. A new fund has been created in New York City that offer one-time payments up to $15,600 to illegals, people that broke the law to come here, criminals who lost work during the pandemic. That's right. People that are criminals that came here in defiance to international law and broke the law every day by being here illegally. Which, again, is one of the biggest misnomers that people have. They say, oh, it's a misdemeanor to cross into a country. No. Harboring yourself and illegally domiciling yourself is the breaking of the law every hour by the hour being here. It's illegal occupation. It's like saying I break into somebody's house and I live there for a couple years. They're not only going to be charged for illegal breaking into the house. You're going to be charged for living in the house beyond that. New York City is not giving $15,600 to middle-class plumbers or HVAC workers. No. To illegals. You see, the person who invades your country is getting preference over the citizen, over you. How many people watching this could use $15,600 right now? Well, all you have to do is denounce your citizenship, go to Mexico, illegally break into America, go to New York City, and you could be eligible for $15,600. Rule number five, most Americans should be treated as we would treat little children. Americans cannot be asked to provide an ID to vote. Noble lies told by our elites about the Chinese coronavirus are necessary to protect the Neanderthals from themselves. Victor Davis Hanson continues by saying, Americans deserve relief from the stress of grades, standardized testing, normative rules of school behavior. Americans are still clueless why it is good for them to pay far more for their gasoline, heating, and air conditioning. Victor Davis Hanson is saying that the citizenry must be treated like a nursery. 5, 6, 7, and 8-year-olds are now able to watch Cardi B or change their gender, but adults, you don't deserve an explanation why your utility bills are going up. Rule number six, hypocrisy is passé. Virtue signaling is alive, Victor Davis Hanson writes. Climate change activists fly on private jets. Social justice warriors live in gated communities. Multi-billionaire elites pose as victims of sexism, racism, and homophobia. The elites need their exemptions to help the helpless. What matters is what you say to lesser others about how you live, not about how you yourself live. For example, Kamala Harris owns a firearm, but she doesn't want you to be able to own a firearm. The people that say they hate walls live in gated communities. The people that say they hate the idea of guns are protected by armed guards every single day. The people that fight against charter schools and private schools send their kids to private schools. The teacher union head of Berkeley, California, was against school closures and public schools, yet he sent his kid to public school. Hypocrisy is the new, not just normal, it's the thing that important people do. But rules aren't for us. We're important. We're smart. Don't you understand? I run Google, okay? My name's Jay-Z. I'm important. You're not. And the media, of course, gets away with it, whether it be Gavin Newsom eating at French Laundry or John Kerry boarding an airplane without a mask on or John Kerry flying on a private jet to Iceland to go get a special award for climate change, whatever that is. The award for climate change. That they get a complete endorsement by the activist press that you can do whatever you want, whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it, as long as your public statements are in line with the new dogma of the American left. Rule number seven, ignoring or perpetuating homelessness is preferable to ending it. According to the left, it is more humane to let thousands of homeless people live, eat, and defecate and use drugs on public streets and sidewalks than it is to greenlight affordable housing, mandate hospitalization for the mentally ill, and create sufficient public shelter areas. I was just in Los Angeles. What a tragedy. What a disgrace of what that city has become. For hundreds of yards driving on the 405, you can see on the side of the road homeless encampments. Instead of trying to transition people to living quiet and peaceable lives themselves, there is a top-down draconian order to say we must subsidize homelessness. Whose streets are these? They're everyone's streets. Instead of trying to end these problems, or at least try to curb them, they want to subsidize it and expand it. Rule number eight, McCarthyism is good. Destroying lives and careers for incorrect thoughts save more lives and careers. Cancel culture and the Twitter reign of terror provides needed deterrence. Now that Americans know that they are one word or act or look away from losing their livelihoods, they're more careful and will behave in a more enlightened fashion. The social media guillotine, the humane scientific tool of the woke. Now, maybe Victor Davis Hanson listens to this podcast, or maybe we are just having this mind meld. But a lot of that right there are things that we've talked about at great length here on this program. Joe McCarthy was a senator from Wisconsin, and he famously had the either Senate or House, I think it was, of course, he was a senator, obviously. So it was the Senate Committee on Un-American Activities, if I'm not mistaken. And he would have these hearings on trying to find the communists in our government. And what no one wants to say, but I'll say it, is McCarthy was wrong about some things, but really right about most things, that there was a communist infiltration happening in our country. The way he went about doing it, less than desirable. But it became this pejorative, like, oh, you're going to you're a McCarthyite. Wait, I'm sorry, what? I don't want communists in my country. I don't. I don't want them infiltrating our apparatus, our institutions of government. But now McCarthyism is embraced by all the top levels of power. What used to be considered a negative, which was a reign of terror, is that if you step out of line and you don't agree with us, we're going to destroy your life. Rule number 9, ignorance is preferable to knowledge. Probably my favorite rule in the sense of how true is this. It is better to know nothing, but be very confident about it, than to actually pursue knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom, of course, is the knowledge of all things eternal, things that do not change. Victor Davis Hanson beautifully writes, neither statue toppling nor name changing, nor the 1619 Project requires any evidence or historical knowledge. Like renaming the Abraham Lincoln School in downtown San Francisco. Heroes of the past were simple constructs. They weren't real people. They were just figments of your imagination. Undergraduate, graduate, and professional degrees reflect credentials, not knowledge. Boy, is that true. The brand, not what created it, is all that matters. It doesn't matter if you actually know anything. All that matters is that you went to Brown, you went to Yale, you went to Harvard. Some of the most deceitful, arrogant, and self-righteous people are produced from these institutions. And finally, the 10th rule by Victor Davis Hanson. Wokeness is the new religion, growing faster and larger than Christianity. We're given the same speech every day. It's priesthood, wokeness, outnumbers the clergy and exercises far more power. Silicon Valley is the new Vatican. And Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, and Twitter are the new gospels. Americans privately fear these rules while publicly appearing to accept them. They still could be transitory and invite a reaction. Or they are a near permanent and institutionalized. The answer determines whether a constitutional republic continues as once envisioned or warps into something never imagined by those who created it. The 10 rules that are changing America. And then I want to get into another piece that Victor wrote that ties all of this even more beautifully together. Money is a construct. Laws are not necessarily binding anymore. Racialism is now acceptable. The immigrant is more preferable to the citizen. Most Americans should be treated as we would treat little children. Hypocrisy is passé. Ignoring or perpetuating homelessness is preferable to ending it. McCarthyism is good. Ignorance is preferable to knowledge. And wokeness is the new religion, growing faster and larger than Christianity. How did we get here? A couple reasons. Very weak people and corrupt people and self-righteous and money-worshipping people that run our country and our corporations, like Ed Bastian and James Quincy. Our universities are largely to blame. We sent way too many kids to college for far too long for a lot of different reasons, but also because parents didn't want to have to face their neighbors and explain to their friends that their kid wasn't going to Stanford or Harvard or Princeton or Yale or some school. And instead of asking the question of whether or not these universities will be developing character or getting my child a skill, it's, oh, they got the piece of paper. You extrapolate that over a couple decades. You have 60 million people that have been indoctrinated to hate their country. She is one of the most powerful voices for faith, family, and for freedom. Someone I know very well. We had a lot of fun together for a couple of years at Turning Point USA, and she's doing awesome. And she's a frequent guest of the show. It's Candace Owens. And I want to tell you, Candace has joined the powerful lineup at the Daily Wire, great company, launching a new show where talk show meets late night. She'll continue to call out leftist lies and the corruption of media and big tech. So join Candace each week as she welcomes powerful voices talk about the most critical issues, break down what's actually happening in our country, and trust me, you're going to laugh a lot too. Candace is unfiltered and quite honestly uncancelable. Even as she says all the things other on the right wing are afraid to say, Candace is a dear friend. She's a fighter. She loves our country. And I know all of you love supporting Candace Owens. So here's how you do it. Her full show is available to Daily Wire members only. Use code CHARLIE and get 25% off your Daily Wire membership now. So if you say, hey, I want to support the fighters, well, you could support this program. You could support Candace Owens by going to dailywire.com. And you could, there's a membership tab, and then use the code CHARLIE. It's that easy. It's dailywire.com. Support Candace Owens. Candace is a fighter. She loves her country. I've seen her and her commitment personally in what she's done. And again, she's moved the dial so much. So go to dailywire.com, use the code CHARLIE, and get 25% off your Daily Wire membership now. How do we get here? How do we get to the place where those 10 rules, as I was reading them, I'm sure you were saying, oh man, that's true. That's true. And they're awfully depressing rules. How did we get here and what can we do to fix it? We got here because many of the people in charge of our country, people that run our corporations, our colleges, sit on the board, they did very little to actually change the trajectory of the nation and push back against this nonsense and actually properly educate young people. Exhibit A, and Victor Davis Hanson mentions him in his piece, Ed Bastian. Ed Bastian, who's the CEO of Delta, who might be the embodiment of what I can't stand the most in America. This guy earns $17 million a year. A year. He has an opportunity to take a stand against the wokesters in his own company. Instead, Ed Bastian only cares about an extra yacht in the Bahamas or whatever it might be. I'm going to be tougher on him than just a random woke activist that graduated from Emory University. This guy's supposed to be in charge. We also got here because of the university system, where all these ideas originate from, where far too many donations go, kids go to school, too much attention is given to them. College enrollment needs to go down dramatically in our country. And if you're listening to this podcast and I'm not telling you not to go to college, just have a good reason to go. And for parents out there, there's two things you must guarantee when your kid goes to college. Number one, they're going to get a skill. And number two, they're going to share your values when they graduate. And a good number three is making sure that they're not going to be financially insolvent. Victor Davis Hanson writes perfectly in this piece, The Wealthy and the Woke. Victor Davis Hanson's like Robert Frost. He's a poet. He's amazing. I thought this sentence might be two sentences, technically three, is some of the best I've heard in some time. Victor Davis Hanson writes, wokeness is not really about fairness for minorities, the oppressed and the poor, past or present. It is mostly a self-confessional cult of anointed bullies like Ed Bastian and hypocrites of all races and genders like James Quincy, CEO of Coca-Cola, who seek to flex and increase their own privilege and power. Period. Let me read this again. It is mostly a self-confessional cult of anointed bullies and hypocrites of all races and genders who seek to flex and increase their own privilege and power. Period. Self-appointed bullies. People that are going to be in charge and say, if you do not do this, we're moving the All-Star game from a black county to a white county. It's not about the minorities or the oppressed. Of course not. It's about you. It's about your corporate bonuses. It's about your social status. It's about your kid getting into Harvard. It's about your membership at a local country club. It's about getting invited to the right Christmas parties. It's about you. And you virtue signal to the rest of us as if you're such a good person when the tough but the right fights are right in front of you. And you decide to run away from them. You decide to run away from them because you don't want to be called the R word. You don't want the New York Times, the Washington Post to publish a scathing editorial about you. You don't. So you've made a decision to engage in this self-confessional cult of anointed bullies. And all you want to do is increase your own wealth, your own power, your own privilege. So you go through these 10 rules. You say, how did this happen? The people in charge let it happen. That's how. The people who run our universities, the people who run our companies, some parents let it happen, our politicians let it happen, all because they were hedging. They were cutting corners. They wanted what was expedient and what felt good, not what was good. For a couple decades, we were able to get away with it. But now, because of the biggest vulnerability that is being exposed by the left, is the left says, okay, I'm going to use your own market system and your own love of money against you. You can either keep getting paid and obey to us, obey everything we ask in the woke thing, or you can stop getting paid and oppose us. You can either have your kid get into a good college and agree with us and be silent, or your kid won't get into that college if you oppose us. It's pure extortion. And the people that should have courage and clarity of leadership, the CEOs, the board members, the head of these county schools, they have failed us. We deserve better elites in our country. The 10 rules that have radically redefined America, pore over them, read them, spread them to your friends. It's incredibly important we know them, especially right now. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.